You're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. We are into the second hour of the programme. And next week is a very busy week. In fact, it's busy right up until the rest of the month, to be honest with you. There's lots going on. But from a radio perspective, our programme perspective, we're really looking forward to our debates next week. It's really important, isn't it? We've got 20 candidates contesting 5 seats here in Donegal, and we've invited all of the candidates. As you can imagine, it's going to be a crucial debate as people make up their minds in the final days before the election. And the draw was made, and as I say, the first debate runs from 10 to 12 noon on Monday. The second debate runs from 10 to 12 noon on Tuesday, and on Wednesday we have our third and final debate running from 10 until 12 noon. And all the debates will be available for you to watch and listen live, and we'll also make them available for you to watch and listen as podcasts, as we do everything in the interests of accessibility and accountability, and it's just the right way to do it. So we are still waiting from full confirmation from Noel Jordan in the south of the county and Nikki Bradley in Fine Gael. That's not to say they won't be attending. We're just waiting for confirmation from them. We have had no reply from Niall McConnell, an independent. A invite was extended to him. Unable to attend, Carol Gallagher of People Before Profit and also Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party. But both were invited, both unable to attend. And I draw nothing from that. People have busy lives and what have you. On Monday, our guests include John McNulty, Pat the Cope Gallagher, Mary T. Sweeney, Pierce Doherty, Jerry McGeever, Arthur Desmond McGuinness, Frank O'Donnell. So a good mixture there of the established parties and also independents. It's great too. Some are in the same areas looking for the same votes, which is great. On Tuesday, hopefully we'll have Nikki Bradley of Fine Gael, Charlie McConnell Logue, Porrig McLaughlin, Charles Ward of 100% Redress, and Vincent J. Bradley, who is an independent out of Carrigart. So another fascinating debate there, I think. On Wednesday, another very interesting lineup. We've got Kim McMenamin of the Irish People National Alliance, Nuala Carr of the Green Party, Thomas Pringle independent, Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil. Hopefully, we're waiting on a response, Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin. Again, a good mix of candidates from all over the county. Some in there also, coincidentally, vying potentially for the same votes. So that's 3 panels, 3 days, 3 debates. We want you involved as well. If you could articulate to us what you want discussed on it, okay? We're going to focus on what you want us to talk about, but really it's going to be with a focus on Donegal, okay, the Northwest. Here in general. Obviously, national policies are going to feed into that, right? But it's also too about, you know, I think we don't want to be too parish pump about it either, do we? But it's about what's good for Donegal as well and what these candidates hopefully can deliver for Donegal and how they might do it. So that's 3 debates, 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then on Saturday, we've got you covered for coverage, by the way. You'll be able to, thanks to the excellent work, by the way, of Oisin Kelly. He's the head of sport here, also the head of IT. He has moved mountains, fingers crossed it all works, he and Joe Dex and others, to technically deliver what we're going to deliver for you on Saturday week. So we'll be on air with wall-to-wall coverage of the count from the Aura Leisure Centre. The full team will be down there. You'll find out exactly what's happening as it happens. And you can do it 2 ways. Ivra Hain, you can listen to us on the radio. Wherever you are out in the car, that's fine, fantastic. Or you can watch the coverage. And if any of you watch the local election coverage, it's going to be bigger and better than the local election coverage as well. So you'll be able to sit in your home or wherever you are and watch the events unfold as well, if that's what you prefer and it might suit you on a Saturday. So we'll be across our YouTube channel. And I often remind you that that means you can watch on your telly. Very handy. I availed of that at the weekend. Facebook is grand, right? But if you want to watch it on your telly, you have to cast your phone and it's kind of messy. So I was watching a football match at the weekend. It's on Facebook, it's on your phone, it's not quite the same. YouTube is great because a lot of you can get it onto the big telly, which is nice, isn't it? So we'll be on YouTube, Facebook and the X platform. It's going to be fully interactive. We're going to have all the analyses you can hope for, the tallies as they come in, the runners and the riders, who's in, who's out, who's vying for that last seat potentially, and all that kind of stuff. 086 60 25,000. What do you want to hear talked about next week? 086 60 25,000. Let us know. Give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Or if you want to use a longer format way of contacting us, you can go to you can email comments@highlandradio.com. Next week's a big week. These are big debates for the people of Donegal, and you're going to hear from all the players that have accepted the invites. The overwhelming majority have had. We've just got two people that are unable to attend, that being People Before Profit and Eamon McGee. Everyone else is coming or yet to confirm they are coming. They haven't said they're not coming yet, so it's going to be critical. It's going to be interesting. And then we've got those debates, and there's an important poll coming out tonight, actually. I don't know how it's done, the format of it, but I think it's going to be really telling, or potentially really telling. And it is TG Cahir at 7 o'clock, I believe. And I've no problem plugging that, because no enemies in this game. It's great to see what they're doing. They've conducted a poll for this competitive five seater. And if it follows the pattern of last week's, it's actually be going to say where the percentages are. So I can't pick names. Charlie McConlow, 16%. This is just me giving examples. Nicky Bradley, 12%. Piers Doherty, 8%. I'm jumbling it up so people don't think I'm being unfair. So it's not going to give us an indication of who's going to get the five seats, but it'll give us a really strong indication, I think, of where we're at this point, right? So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to discussing it with you on the show tomorrow as well. I mocked up one and I sent it to Caroline, and I can't really publish it because it might give the impression that I'm leaning in one way or another, right? Which I genuinely, hand on my heart, I'm not, and that's the God's honest truth. But I'd be very interested to see who you think the top five in the poll will be and your percentages. Don't worry about the maths adding up. But I'll read some of them out today, right? And I'll keep them to one side, and maybe one of you will get it spot on. Wouldn't that be exciting? And if I'm right, I might say mine. If I'm wrong, I won't. But just who do you think the top five, and if you want to throw in percentages, will be in the TG Cahir poll tonight? And that's not to exclude anyone else, right? But it just keeps it simple, the top five. So who do you think number one will be, number two, number three, number four, number five? Get them into us right now if you can. WhatsApp or text 086 60 25,000. Rough percentages too, if you wish. And we can have a bit of fun with it. It's a very serious matter, right? But we all kind of think we know, don't we? We all think we've got our fingers on the pulse. Factor in, if you're listening in the show, and it could be easy to think that maybe one candidate or other may be doing very well or not. Or if you're listening in Killybegs, you might go, well, it's going to be, you know, Pringle, Cope, blah, blah. So think for a second that this is a county-wide poll of people. So you're going to have people in Donegal Town that aren't too concerned maybe with matters elsewhere, and vice versa, right? So put your thinking cap on. Who do you think the top five will be? And I'll keep them to one side, and it'll be interesting to see if any of you get it spot on. You can put the percentages in there if you wish, but you don't. So your top five, who do you think? Let's see if you can match the TG Cahir poll tonight. Remember, it's a poll of people right across the county. 086 60 25,000. WhatsApp and text, get them in. You don't have to use your name or anything. It's just as a bit of an aside, a bit of a distraction. Wow. Three driving testers are working today in Letterkenny. One at lorries and two at cars. It's a big day for the parish, says a listener. A big day indeed. I'm being told that there's been a traffic collision at Park Hill Ballyshannon. So if you're driving in that direction, please be careful. Expect delays. We'll get more information on that for you as soon as we can get our hands on it. Greg, I was watching the English news last night, and they were discussing how house owners with foam insulation are now facing difficulty selling their houses as mortgages are not being granted. This is due to foam insulation is rotting the timber. I suppose it depends on the type of house. Morning, Greg. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this new scam. I've just received this text from an Irish mobile phone number, and it's very relevant now with the cold weather. Please highlight this to your listeners. More than happy to do so. Yeah, I know it, right? It's a familiar one, but it's a clever one. And it reads as follows. This is a scam, okay? So if you're listening here and you might have a Nokia 6210 or whatever it is, or you could have the latest smartphone, it all comes into your SMS, and it's an Irish telephone number, an Irish mobile number. There's no point me reading it out because they're clone numbers and they can change it to whatever number. And it reads as follows. You are eligible for a discounted electricity bill under the emergency benefit scheme. You can apply here. And it's mygov.account.info.com.aloadofscammyrubbish. Please delete it, ignore it. The government don't text you telling you that you can apply to some strange URL to get money off your electricity. So please be careful of that. Thank you to that listener for sharing it. Once again, Gregory has to give his own personal views on comments sent in by listeners. Must be the only radio station in Ireland where a presenter is allowed to do so. There aren't any rules in relation to this. It's a conversational program. Part of my job is to keep it going, to have a say. I think the comment was in reference to probably, was it the Donald Trump one? I don't know. Normally you can pick them out. But it's to agitate, to get more information in. I'll be honest with you. I love a bit of criticism, by the way. It's what makes me tick. Tune into News Talk Breakfast if you're concerned about people giving opinions. Or tune into Liveline if you wonder if someone can get on a hobby horse and have an opinion on something. I think, to be honest with you, that we're one of the most impartial shows on radio, if the truth be told. But listen to those shows that I mentioned and others. There are no rules governing this area. Personally, I mean, I do interject here and there. That's all part of the conversation. But if you want to go down that route, I could point you in a few different directions. But anyway, I always know it's you because you call me Gregory. I'm surprised there's not more noise about the changes to the contributory pension next year in the election. Another, if there's so much money, why are there homeless children waiting on surgery, disabled, with no help? Well, you see, it's how money is spent and it's where it's spent is the answer to that question. If I'm bold enough to say. Anyone listening to Trump yesterday and what he said about his own country being the most at fault for driving wars and had to change, afraid of world war starting as President Biden pushing Ukraine to fire missiles into Russia, it's a dangerous act. It is a dangerous act. Obviously, you know, Russia now has got 10,000 North Koreans fighting for them in Ukraine. So you could argue, right, so, you know, if there's another party in there, then you could argue that the West has been in with Ukraine right from the very beginning. I get that. I think it'll be very interesting to see what, like, just to be very clear about the dynamics between Putin and Trump. You may or may not be aware that Donald Trump's wife formally posed for some quite salacious, some might say sexy, pictures where she's nude in them. And on Russia's state broadcaster, effectively RTE, if that's not a criticism, I don't mean it as such, they published these photos in the days of his election. So, you know, Putin ain't worried about Donald Trump. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But they published on the main evening news the naked pictures of his wife, which I think tells its own tale about what's going on there. Not very impressed with our local Fianna Fáil candidate, as we had two young teenagers coming to our door and just handed out his leaflets. He probably thinks he's his area in the bag. He may be in for a shock. Not sure who that is. Greg, when is the council going to start fixing their mica houses? My sister's house is ready to fall down. I don't know. It's defective concrete, of course. We had this conversation earlier, but I respect those directly affected by it to call it whatever they wish, and that's why I read the text as I do. I don't know. I know lots of people in this situation as well, very worried. And also, in some cases, the council is doing remedial work to really quite badly damaged houses. You know, when people are going, right, so it must be years before you're going to have a look at this. And I also know of many situations where there are two houses, semi-detached, one's privately owned, one's council owned. What do you do in that situation? Where is the joined up thinking that maybe both could be remediated at the same time? It's complicated. It really is. And we're only at the tip of the iceberg. Hearing the Healy Rays are not happy at being overlooked for last night's debate, especially with at least two participants representing just one TD parties, resulting in a very crowded forum. Well, I mean, listen, they're independents. They don't head up a party as such. A couple of people qualified just because of the quirks of the system that RTE employs. That being said, it was interesting to hear different voices. Right, Community Garda information just around the corner. Stay right where you are.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday morning, 27 minutes past 10, a little later than normal. That's completely my fault. But it is now time for Community Garda information. And with me is Garda Niall Maguire from the Fallcarra Garda Station. Good morning, Niall. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. Okay, let's get straight into it. Gardaí seeking the public's help in relation to the investigation into a collision in the south of the county.
Yeah, this happened in Brookless on Saturday the 16th of November between approximately 6:10 p.m. and 6:20 p.m. So a 10-minute window there in Brookless Village between a pedestrian and a vehicle. A female pedestrian was unfortunately removed from the scene to receive medical treatment for serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Thank God no other injuries were reported. So we appeal to anybody who may have witnessed the collision to make contact with my colleagues in Ballyshannon. Anybody specifically that may have had a dash cam on their vehicle and were near Brookless between 6 p.m. and 6:25 on Saturday the 16th of November. Please make it available to my colleagues in Ballyshannon, 071-985-8530. I heard you mention there, Greg, just before I came on about the accident in Ballyshannon this morning. I just made contact with Ballyshannon station and there's road will be open probably in the next half hour. It's down to one lane at the moment.
Very good. Very good, Niall. Thanks for that update there. Staying in the roads and a collision in Stranorlar.
Yes. This happened Wednesday the 13th of November at approximately 12:40 p.m. A driver was travelling at Meeting House Street, Stranorlar, in the direction of Letterkenny. People will be familiar with that main road when an object which was believed to have been a tyre fell from the back of a lorry. And unfortunately, that tyre fell on the roof of the car that was heading towards Letterkenny, and the lorry was heading towards McLeay's Corner. You know where I'm on about, Greg. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. The lorry more than likely didn't know what had happened. So if anybody did see what happened or know who owned the lorry, maybe make contact with the guards in Balbuffet or Letterkenny on 07491 67100.
And you know, it's possible that the lorry driver is learning for the first time today that something fell from the lorry and struck another vehicle. So they may well not, and I think you've already alluded to this, not realise that it happened. And now's an opportunity for them to come forward just to clear it up.
Yeah, because I suppose that there is CCTV in the area. So my colleagues, I'm sure, and Stranorlar will be checking that, you know, and hopefully we'll be making contact with the driver.
Right, news now of an assault at Market Square in Letterkenny.
Yeah, very concerning one, Greg. You know, sometimes we see sort of gangs of youth hanging around the main street on the Market Square and their hoods up and stuff, and they seem to get a wee bit more bold in the dark nights. So unfortunately, a gentleman was approached by a group of youths at the Market Square on Friday the 15th of November, shortly after 7 p.m., approximately 7:05 p.m. actually. The injured man was assaulted by the group of youths and had to go, unfortunately, with several injuries to Letterkenny Hospital to receive treatment. So we appeal to anybody who may have observed the incident around 7 p.m. on Friday the 15th. Please make contact with my colleagues in Letterkenny. There is good CCTV available and we are going through that. So again, Letterkenny is 074 9167 100.
Yeah, and you know, we do hear from the public who feel that, you know, certain areas, Letterkenny for an example, they don't feel safe in it. These types of cases don't assist really in that reputational damage. So the sooner these youths are spoken to, I think the better to assure the public.
Yeah, I suppose the concerning one about this is, Greg, it's not your kind of stereotypical one you'd expect, maybe after the pubs are closed or whatever, and people have got the excuse of being drunk or whatever, but this is just a gang of youths who I suspect were just up to a bit of badness and maybe got out of control, you know, gang mentality type thing.
Yeah, worrying, because often non-life-threatening injuries doesn't tell the full story, either physically or emotionally, but that's the terminology we must use. We'll stay in Letterkenny. A criminal damage investigation underway.
Yeah, this is a broken window at Fox Hills, just down the road here in Letterkenny, in the early hours of Saturday the 16th of November at approximately 4 a.m. So in the wee hours of Saturday the 16th of November, the rear kitchen window at the property was smashed around that time. No entry was gained to the house, no effort was made to enter the house, so it's really just a criminal damage incident at 4 a.m. So anybody that can help us in relation to that broken window in Fox Hills, again, Letterkenny are looking after it, 0749167100. And again, all my appeals today, dash cams are very particularly useful
yeah,
to us.
Yeah, and have proven to be so. That's why they become have become such an important part of appeals.
Yeah.
Right, going back a little bit, so people might have to jog their memories. It's the theft of a caravan in Fawn.
Yeah, the Gardaí in Muncrana wished to renew an old appeal in relation to a caravan that was stolen from a field in Ballinahone, Fawn, between September the 30th and October the 12th. It's a two-berth, I don't have a great description of it, Greg, but it's a two-berth caravan, beige in colour, and has an IRL badge on the rear window. So we appeal to anybody who may have information in relation to this caravan, maybe it's popped up for sale or whatever, please contact my colleagues in Muncrana on 074 932 0540.
Right, okay, now let's talk about a scam warning, effectively, and they take all different guises. This one, an interesting one as always. Good to get the info out, Niall.
Yeah, well, you would probably know more about this than I would, Greg. This man's, this is a fraud in relation to him and a very expensive watch. A young man had a Rolex watch basically stolen from him. He had it for sale online, and he was contacted by a lady who expressed an interest in purchasing it. The man met the woman and she inspected the watch and she agreed to buy it. Now, it's obviously it's Rolex, it's quite expensive.
Yeah, for sure, big money.
She agreed to transfer the funds. This is a scam, Greg. She agreed to transfer the funds online via an online banking app. So she had a video call with a third party the third party showed some form of debit card authentication taking place. It wasn't really happening, however they did it with manipulation of the app or whatever. This man then believed that the mobile banking app had indeed transferred the money. It came up with his name and blah, 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 and they had screen grabs of that this transaction was successful.
Do you know what's before you go on here now, this is really quite technical and advanced, and also the in-person element towards it. You know,
absolutely,
it's bold.
Yeah.
I've not heard of this before. So we've heard of sort of the manipulation of apps and what have you to create this these kind of illusions of payment or what have you. I mean, they went to a lot of a third-party video call, an app that gave the impression money had taken place, and all this done in person as well.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. I suppose maybe the train of thought in this one is that the third-party person wasn't actually seen on,
yeah.
I think, so we don't have an ID of that person, but we do obviously have a good description of the female. We have a definitive line of inquiry on this one,
yes,
Greg, and we are
following,
and we do hope to get a resolution for this one. But again, this is not just about expensive watches. This could be about a concert ticket or something, and about how we need to be aware that, you know, there is ways of manipulating apps to show. Unless you see the money has gone into your account, Greg, you shouldn't be releasing any product or service until that's...
Yeah, until you see on your own app.
On your own app.
And the complication here is that depending on the app and the service, it can take an hour to deliver into your account. Okay, with the likes of Revolut, it's really instant. But you know, with between certain banks and at certain times, it can take a little longer. They could be putting the pressure on you personally and saying, "Look, we have to get away." Blah 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 blah. So this person's down this very expensive watch. So as you say, never hand over your property to anyone until you've verified with your own bank that the funds have taken place. But the watch is still absent. So do we have any description of it, Niall?
Yeah, so the watch in question is a Rolex Explorer, similar to your own, Greg, and it has an engraving.
See, if you keep saying that, people might start believing that, Niall.
Well, I'm just looking at your nice watch
it's
there, Greg.
It's a smart watch. It's not very expensive.
So it's a Rolex Explorer, Greg. So we're asking anybody, you know, this will probably be moved on very quickly, given the time of year. So any members of public...
So advertise pawn shops as well.
Pawn shops, owner, advertise. So... There is people out there that collect these watches, and they mightn't necessarily be millionaires or whatever, but they collect them because they are an investment, and these Rolex watches do appreciate in value, you know. So, you know, you can buy them and turn over a couple of €100, be selling it on or whatever, holding it. But so, you know, this is the scam we have. And as I say, it's not just about expensive watches. This could be something small, like a concert ticket or whatever.
100%,
just make sure the money's in your bank account before you let go of anything. And as I say, if you need to wait an hour or so, do that. So my colleagues in Ballyshannon are looking after that, and they can be contacted on 071 0818 585 830, or indeed the Garda confidential line is always open, 1-800-666-111.
Yep, so it's a Rolex Explorer with an engraving on the back, and I'm sure no one would want to benefit from someone else's loss like that, so let the Gardaí know. Excuse me, something we don't hear as often as we used to. I'm not sure if it's because we're using less cash or banknotes and what have you, are becoming more difficult to forge. But there is a forged note warning out there.
Well, we had, I think, at least two incidences in Buncrana on Saturday the 16th of November in relation to counterfeit Bank of Scotland £50 notes. So it's a lot of money, a £50 note. And in one instance, a male entered a takeaway and ordered food. He paid using the counterfeit note, and when he received the change, he left without the food, you know, but he took the change, obviously. A man also entered a shop in Buncrana on Saturday and presented a counterfeit note as payment, but the staff member refused to accept it as he realised that it was not genuine. He left the shop immediately. I'm aware that, Greg, there's still the old Bank of Scotland and Bank of England notes and this, the old paper ones, because they've all turned to these plastic now, and the plastic ones are highly secure and highly identifiable. And, you know, I suppose we're just going to use this as a learning exercise because I know this time of year we have seasonal workers in shops.
That's
and maybe
right,
young students
yeah.
and stuff.
They miss the training in the summer or whatever it might be, yeah.
For sure, yeah. So it's worthwhile if you have a business and you have young staff members, maybe, you know, this is all available online. I printed this thing out here from Bank of Scotland, and, you know, it's a 10-page document on how to identify genuine notes, Greg, you know, and there's so much. Like, they're highly secure now, the notes, you know, you can look and feel. The old notes, obviously, you could use the old pen checker on it. If it came up with a mark, the paper was... But you can't do that with the plastic notes, but these are more secure. You know,
you have to know what to look for.
There's so much security, and they're all about security, these notes. So, you know, you can use a UV light. There's watermarks on them. There's holograms on them. There's at least 10 overt security markings on sterling notes. And there's also... One of the easiest ones to detect is... if you feel, Greg, where it says £50 or £20, it goes vertically, or the bank name, that should be embossed, and so you can feel that raised off the plastic. Yeah, so that's a quick one to do, you know.
All right, and as you say, there's tons of information there. We can't disseminate it all now.
Yep.
But as you say as well, particularly with new staff coming in, you have to give people the knowledge, because knowledge is power, right? So we know at least two instances. Those are the ones that have been identified. Who's to say how many more could be out there, or how many could be passed off? I presume they're not producing these notes in ones and twos, so it's a very important warning at this time of year particularly. Right, there's an open day at Mobile Fire Station. What's happening?
Yeah, the fire service in Mobile are having an open day on November the 23rd, which is Saturday. The event will run from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And again, a sensory hour will take place between 10 and 11 a.m, during which time the lights and sirens won't be used. My colleagues in the community police will also be there with an information stand, and it's a great chance to learn more about the fire service, and entry is free.
Okay, now, a listener contacted the show last week, not with a question, but rather with a request. They asked us to once again remind the public about the importance of wearing high-vis clothing, especially now that the evenings are so long and dark. I mean, this is something we talk about quite regularly, isn't it? So no harm, I suppose, to reissue advice. Because now, I mean, the way that this time of year is, it's almost like early morning till 2, and then nighttime begins.
Yeah.
You know, so like even yesterday with the heavy cloud, like at 3:30, you'd need to have high-vis on.
It was dark all day yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So really, it's almost like a 24-hour wear high-vis situation now, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, I'm just going to beat the usual drum in relation to this. I was working yesterday evening myself, and I came across two people, and they were walking dogs and stuff, and, you know, they're just, all they have is their mobile phone in their hand. That's the only way you can see them. Listen, call into any of the district headquarters, Garda stations, and they'll give you a yellow jacket for nothing on behalf of the Road Safety Authority. So that would be Letterkenny, Ballyshannon, Buncrana, or Milford. Now, I'm aware Milford don't have in at the moment, but there is a back stock waiting to be delivered. So they're there, just call and kit them. But there's no excuse for not having one at night time, Greg. And they're standing up and and trying to mind yourself on the side of the road when a car's going past, that's okay till a lorry's coming the other way and the driver's dazzled by the lights. You know, I've been at them types of accidents myself, and I've been at them types of fatal accidents before where it's been raining and dark or twilight and people have been knocked down and killed.
Yeah, you know, it is not a warning about something that may happen. Yes, something may happen, but these things happen, and unfortunately someone like yourself has had to go and witness that. And we do always consider the emergency services and others who have to visit these scenes. Primarily our thoughts are always with the deceased and their families and friends, but you guys have to go there and do your job as well, which is tough. The yellow warnings are coming thick and fast all week. Effectively, look, we're in winter, right? We shouldn't really need to be warned. It's going to be, we've had a long dry mild spell. It's going to get colder now. We could have black ice. We could have obvious frost, and there could be snow and slush. We have to make sure our cars are in good order for that, that our lights are working. But I think, you know, tyre depth, so important at this time of year now, because so little of our tyre touches the ground. And many of us, unless you've got a modern car, don't know how much air is in them. Don't know if we don't check the insides of the tyres to see if they're wearing evenly. All this stuff we should be doing now.
Yeah. Well, everybody should know at this stage, 1.6 millimetre is the legal minimum tyre tread depth, but it's recommended a minimum of 3 millimetres for winter driving, because we are coming across sleet, snow and pools of water. So, like, I suppose what I would need to emphasise today is that you can't really judge your tyres yourself unless you actually get it up on a lift or pull the tyre off, because a lot of tyres are wearing it on one side. And people, you know, you speak to any of the tyre men, it's a free check to get your tyres checked. And they're, you know, they'll actually show you your tyres. So they're not trying to say, you know, if you go, they're not going to recommend four tyres immediately. They're going to show you the tyres and you'll see if they are. And sometimes there can be bulges on the inside of the tyre. You'll never see that without getting a proper inspection.
I had a tyre and the wire was out inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, that can happen, Greg. The outside of it was perfect. Like, yeah. I looked down the arch, right? And brilliant tyre.
Yeah.
But I think someone, this is ages ago, hit a curb or something and the alignment had went off. But the wire was out on the inside of the tyre.
Yeah, there you go. That's
And you're heading down a motorway essentially at 120. Like, you know, yeah, it's scary stuff.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right, okay. There's a question here. I think the answer is obvious. It's about if you're given a dud note from a shop. If you leave the shop and have that note in your possession, who's liable? I mean, it's a tough one in that regard. You could go back to the shop and they could say, oh, we didn't realise, we'll swap that. But I suppose once you take ownership of it then, you know, I think it's landed on your lap. I don't know what the legal perspective is.
It's a criminal offence to have a counterfeit banknote in your possession.
Wow.
Okay, so if you have one, no matter if you're a shopkeeper or whatever, it's in your till, it's a criminal offence. Obviously, you've got a defence if you're saying that somebody just gave it to you, whatever. So if you suspect, that the note is a counterfeit, the proper procedure is to take it to the bank. The bank will hang on to it and give you a receipt for it. And if it's confirmed to be genuine, they'll replace it with another note of the same value. And if it's not, they'll just retain it. And unfortunately, you're out the loss of that.
So that's why you have to double check everything. All right. Yep. I won't read that full text until you're out of the room. and that'll become clear if you're listening in the car.
Lovely.
Right. No, it's not anything. Oh, you know what? I'll read it. I don't want you thinking that it's something bad about you. This caller says, I got a 10-euro change back from a shop. The minute I reached for it, I realised it was fake, but I didn't want to make a scene at the till. Now, this is the bit I didn't want you to hear. I went straight back into the shop and I bought something small to get rid of it, because people say if a shop checks it, it's your loss. Can now clarify if you find yourself with one of these notes, who's at loss as money is tight? And you can see the bit I didn't want you to hear.
Yeah, well,
they went back in.
If they're sure they got it from the shop, well then sure, if they went to the shop manager, you know, lots of shops have CCTV and stuff, and I'm sure the shop would be sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a genuine person, Greg, there'd be no issue there, you know.
All right. Okay, listen, now, thanks so much as always. It's great to have you in. I do appreciate your time.
Cheers, Greg.
Okay, that was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 19th of November. Because of our debates, actually, next week, it'll be on at the earlier time of between 9 and 10, let me say. The exact start time, I'm not really quite sure of that. But because of our debates, our election... Well, Caroline, am I not going to do the newspapers? Like, she's saying 10 past 9, so I'm not doing the newspapers next Tuesday. She said that in my ear. I don't know. She's producing on the hoof here. It'll be on between 9 and 10, Caroline. We can agree on that? Yeah? Okay, all good. Next Tuesday. If you want to listen back to today's episode, if you missed anything or just want to recheck some details, You can watch it back a little later on our Facebook page and on God Issue Connor Facebook page, and you can listen back to the podcast available for you at 12:30. But that's it for today, and it's back, as I say, live at about 9:10. I'm only joking with Caroline, of course, next Tuesday. I'm joined on the programme now by Anne. Anne, how are you getting on with all that's going on?
Oh, not so bad.
It's a stressful time for you. You're waiting on a home care package. You're one of the hundreds of families, unfortunately, in this situation. Anne, as much as you're comfortable talking about the situation, what's going on for you?
Well, my husband was hospitalised on the 3rd of September with a chest infection after having a brain tumour removed in August. Mm-hmm. He would have been released from hospital 9 days later, but I said I was going to wait on a care package to be in position before I could take him home. But unfortunately, my husband was being demented by trying to get out of the hospital and breaking windows, so I had no choice, but I took him home last week.
He couldn't deal with the hospital environment any longer.
No. Yeah, okay. He had been in for 10 weeks.
10 weeks, unbelievable. So you had to take him home. You've given us your ages, if you don't mind me saying so. He's 79. You're on your own caring for him. And I presume it's very tough on you, Anne.
Yes, it's very tough. He's not sleeping at night. And he's on a walking aid. Some days he's good and some days he's not. And he's a strong built man. And I find it very difficult.
Yeah, of course, because this is going to disrupt your sleep patterns and everything else as well. So you are waiting on a home care package that hasn't come so far. And I just want to remind people, according to organisations with this area of responsibility, we have huge waiting lists for home care packages and additional home care hours in the Northwest. At the moment, there are zero people waiting. There's no waiting list in Dublin. So this isn't an all-Ireland problem. It's a particular problem in this area. And we were told it's because the HSE money has run out, that there's no additional caring hours available and no additional care packages, we were told, are available. So what are you being told as to when you will get the little bit of assistance that you need, Anne?
Basically, I was told I might, which is a might, because there's quite a few in my area that are waiting on the same as myself, that we would have to wait until someone passes on or goes into long-term care.
Wow. So you're on a list effectively, and if someone passes away and they no longer need the home care package, it may or may not go to you, or if they are transferred into long-term care. What a situation to be in, Anne.
Yeah, it's awful. And I've actually emailed the Minister for Health. Mm-hmm. I got a message back to say that, yes, he was dealing with it. I contacted quite a few politicians. They say they would look into it. But as yet, I've had no help.
I mean, obviously, you're on your own in your house caring for your husband, who's gone through his own issues as well and continues his recovery. You mentioned uses a walking aid, not always steady, so I can fill in the blanks there as to the stress that is for you as he moves around. Not sleeping at night, which of course means that you aren't getting the sleep that you need as well to look after yourself, Anne, because we can't have the two of you, years ill. And you just simply can't get care in the house. You can't get assistance. You can't get a home care package.
Now, what happened last Friday night, my husband fell on the kitchen floor. Thank goodness he didn't break anything, but I couldn't lift him up. So I had to ring a neighbour at 11:30 to come and help me lift him up on his feet again.
You shouldn't have to go through that. You know, that's really sad. It's sad for him, obviously, because it's going to be distressing for him, but it's an awful situation for you having to call for help in that situation. It really is.
Well, the one thing I can't understand is my husband sat in Letterkenny Hospital for 9-10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they tell you that if you're in hospital for one day, it costs €1,000. Mm. I'm only looking for 21 hours a week. So somebody do the maths.
Yeah. Okay.
People are waiting in the bed.
See, the problem is
the people in hospital are sitting in.
But the problem is, Anne, you're talking too much sense. They're going to say it's different budgets. One's a budget for acute care, one's a budget for home care, and never the twain shall meet. And listen, we're obviously going to take a personal interest in this case, okay? So please bear with us on that. We have the debates next week. I'm going to ask people directly, what are they going to do about this? Not talk about it, not sympathise with you, but what is going to be done that we have an equitable system in Donegal compared to other parts of the country? Because other parts of the country use private care where we don't as much and all that kind of stuff. Leave it with me, Anne. Best wishes to you and best wishes to your husband as well. I'm really sorry with what you're going through. We're failing you as a state and we're going to try our best to see if we can get any movement for you on that. The hundreds of you texting in the show today, it's greatly appreciated. I'm getting through them rightly, but we will continue to get through them as the morning wears on. Such a high level of engagement, really, really appreciated. I didn't want to cut off our last caller, so the break was a little late, so I'm going to take a really short break now. We'll come back with news at 11 and a very interesting last hour of the show, so stay right where you are.